Welcome to Morningstar. There is one central bank that is not joining the rest of the world in a monetary tightening policy, even as historically high inflation is weighing on its country, and that is Japan. However, there are signs that things might be changing. And if so, how should investors approach the macro-sensitive sector like financials? Michael Medad is our senior equity analyst in Tokyo, and he is with us today to tell us. So, Michael, soaring prices are pressuring the Bank of Japan to dial back stimulus. When could it happen, and what would be the roadmap to getting us there?
Okay. Well, we think there's a better than even chance that the BOJ could widen the range in which it allows Japanese government bonds, or the JGBs, to trade in by the end of this year. So it's a probably better than 50-50 chance of some change. And most likely, if that happens, it would be by raising the current ceiling from 50 basis points currently to 75 basis points, which isn't really such a large change. The Bank of Japan previously widened the range by moving the ceiling from 25 to 50 basis points at the end of last year. However, if the inflation readings in Japan come in relatively muted, or if there's another bout of financial instability, such as the Silicon Valley Bank thing that we saw in March, it wouldn't be surprising at all to see the Bank of Japan on hold for the rest of the year. So it's not certain that there will be any change at all this year.
So banks and insurers typically fare better in higher rate environment. Would that be the case in Japan?
So between our coverage of Japanese insurance companies and Japanese banks, I think the outlooks are different. The Japanese insurance companies, which the largest ones tend to be the property and casualty rather than the life insurance of the listed companies. Those Japanese insurance companies have been doing quite well now for several years. And I think that part of the reason for that is that global inflation has contributed to what's called a hard insurance market, in which insurers find it easier to raise prices than during a soft market, which we had for quite a few years prior to the pandemic. So it's been a really good environment with the inflation for the insurance companies. On the other hand, for banks, I think the picture is more mixed. I know that there are a lot of hopes in the market, given how narrow net interest margins are in Japan. But because we don't really expect interest rates in Japan to go up very quickly, and perhaps not even at all this year, and also because higher credit interest rates could also mean higher credit costs, I think that banks, it's kind of a mixed picture, and they're probably more fairly valued currently.
Japan Post Bank in your coverage comes with no economic moat and is particularly expensive. Why?
So all of the Japanese banks we cover, we do not assign economic moat ratings to. There's a lot of competition in the Japanese banking market, and access to deposit funding doesn't really give an advantage to any bank. So, which is kind of the disappointment for Japan Post Bank, because its biggest strength is its huge amount of retail deposits. It has more deposits in yen than any other bank in Japan, and almost they're basically all retail and presumably quite sticky deposits. But potential funding advantage, if banks were in need of cheap funding, is not very useful in Japan currently or within our forecast horizon. And meanwhile, on the asset side of its balance sheet, Japan Post Bank basically doesn't make any loans. It's basically a portfolio of bonds and short-term financial instruments. Half of that roughly is in yen and half is in foreign bonds. And I think the reason why I'd be bearish right now is the yen half. I think the foreign bond half, we've seen the impact and the market is well aware of it. But on the yen side, we haven't really had Japanese long-term interest rates rise yet. But when they do, Japan Post Bank has 38 trillion of JGBs. That's about 15 trillion, which is held to maturity, and 23 trillion, which is available for sale. And their duration is close to 7 years now. So, if long-term yen interest rates go up, that will hurt Japan Post Bank's solvency. But unlike for other banks, they don't have the offsetting positive effect of that higher bond yields, meaning also higher loan rates in Japan, because they don't really make loans in Japan. So it would just be a negative effect. So I'm pretty cautious on Japan Post Bank right now.
Well, Japan Post Bank is a name investors should avoid. What are the better picks in the sector?
Yeah, as I may have mentioned, most of the Japanese banks that we cover are currently near our fair values. We have been, you know, we have more recently raised our fair values on insurance companies. Within the banks, and I would say also that within Asia, there are other banks that we cover in Asia that we think have a lot more upside. I mean, I point out Hong Kong banks have significantly underperformed recently, but they have actually a pretty strong outlook for net interest margins. But within Japanese banks, we've tended in the past to prefer SMFG and SMTH. That's 8316 and 8309. And that's still the case, given basically SMFG among the mega banks having good expense control historically, and SMTH, you know, having a different portfolio with more fee income and, you know, potentially benefiting as individual investors move out of just deposits into, you know, more risk assets. But we acknowledge that recently some of the other mega banks, which we previously thought were less attractive relatively, have been doing better. MUFG, it completed its sale of Union Bank of California and last month announced a quite large dividend increase again. So I think MUFG is becoming relatively more attractive. And Mizuho also surprised last month with the size of its dividend increase plan.
Right. Thank you so much, Michael. For Morningstar, I'm Kate Lin.